today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, there is an update on the flight status of emotional support animals. Airbnb is going public, and the Prime Minister of Canada says don't plan to come north in the next couple of months. Details next.
At 3:25, we make you a smarter traveler with a discussion about travel bubbles. What are they, and how do they work? And speaking of bubbles, are those restaurant dining bubbles safe?
The virus is everywhere right now. We have to stay home for the Christmas holidays, which is going to be really hard. Clayton Whitehead joins the conversation at 3:35 to talk about he made the decision not to travel to family in the coming weeks.
Finally, at 3:50, Chris Elliott from the consumer help website Elliott.org jumps in to update us on the consumer airline wars, and it certainly feels like a war sometimes, us versus the virus versus the airlines. Why is it always such a battle?
My friend, you have stumbled upon one of the great mysteries of life. Another is the Travel Guys radio show, which is about to start right now.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
With the show.
Hey there, my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. The not traveling and entertainment guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the co-hosts here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. It's a pleasure to be with you this Sunday. I'm a little lighter in the head. No, not because of that. My wife gave me a haircut trim. And as I was telling Mark before the show, and you can look this up, Luis and I were talking about this the other day. Mullets are back.
So you wouldn't let her cut it all off, huh?
No. I mean, I've spent a lot of time growing these lovely locks in the back.
What's
here.
What's the hair she cut off?
I don't have
off
much in the front to begin with.
Once the hair she cut off reached, you know, waist level, why you decided that was enough for one.
Look it up. They're coming back. I think maybe you ought to be thinking about it.
There are going to be 19,950 guys trying to get haircuts on Monday because we're all afraid that the barbershops in Sacramento County, plus now all the guys in San Joaquin County have no barbershops, so they'll all be drifting up this way. So we may have to post barber guards somewhere Highway 99, you know, down at the border.
It's just hair. You got scissors and a comb, and you can look it up online. Go for it. Hey, what's been new with you this week?
Well, not a tremendous amount. Went out looking for, planning for the future, went out looking for Christmas lights and to small foothill towns for Christmas celebrations. Of course, the governor's announcement kind of kiboshed most of that yesterday. A lot of them made last-minute cancellations of things, but kind of looking for things to do next year. You know, it dawned on me while we were out with a staff member, you know, trying to find things, places that people can go and stuff like that. I really miss the people who travel with us. As somebody who's owned a tour company for 40-plus years, a small local company, and I know a great percentage of the people who travel with our company, either personally or at least by name. And I've traveled with many of them. Lots of them are, I would consider, personal friends over the years. And you get really attached to people. And a lot of the folks who travel with our company are mature travelers. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, you didn't get to go this year, you'll go next year. Well, for some of my people, it's that might be problematical. You know, I mean, the bad knee might only hold up for one more year, or you know, whatever else the issue is, might not necessarily be the virus, but just things that, you know, wear and tear as the body winds down and your travel window closes. But we have some really wonderful people who travel with our company, and this is Sports Leisure Vacations is not a widget company. You know, we don't people don't come in and, you know, get an oil filter or something like that. I mean, we sell people dreams. We sell things that people have wanted to do for a long time or a short time. They've wanted to see a specific show or they've wanted to go someplace. And we're the people who deliver that, and it creates this really special magic.
Sure.
In terms of a business and a customer. And right now, I've fed off of that for a long, long, long time.
This has got to be hard. I've known you for a long time, Mark, and I have to say you're holding up pretty well. But I know it's got to be getting to you.
Well, and we had to cancel our Christmas trip last week. And it was just a little trip. We were going up to Virginia City and Reno over Christmas and stuff. But a lot of the folks who travel with us over Christmas don't necessarily have a whole lot of other folks to spend Christmas with. So, you know, we have to disappoint a lot of people. And, you know, I enjoy those holiday trips as much as anything because they're really with people who really appreciate the fact that you put something together and that folks are sharing a holiday together who otherwise might not. So anyway, I don't want to get all super mushy here, but it's just
too late.
Lots of people have real problems, like how are they going to pay the rent and how are they going to feed their children and things like that. And so this seems, I'm hesitant to even mention this because it seems fairly trivial next to that. And I've been in that situation at the holidays before, so I know what that feels like. But it's just, there are a lot of good people who travel with and work for our company, and I don't get my team together. We're not having a Christmas party. It's a lot different. And all you can do is just say, well, let's all suck it up. And in a few months, perhaps things will be back to normal. And next Christmas, we'll have a really big celebration. Anyway, thank you for giving me a couple minutes to just wander away on
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. Sorry, I got
carried
away.
Keep doing those Zoom scavenger hunts and stuff that you can do with your people and your staff whenever you can. All right, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, when there is time left, I might add, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with the travel news, here's Mark.
I take that as a... I'm sure that was directed at me, since there's only two of us here. I don't think you were talking to Louise. Anyway, airlines will no longer be required to transport emotional support animals. Those of you who have listened to this show for a while know that this is one of my favorite topics ever since I sat down in 7D one day and the Great Dane got on with the lady who was in 7E. And ever since then, I've had an aversion to emotional support animals flying with passengers on airplanes. Anyways, as often happens when administrations are coming to an end, good, bad, or otherwise, things that have languished for years tend to get done as somebody's about to walk out the door. So this is no exception here with the Trump administration. One of the things that they have addressed finally, after it sat there forever, was emotional support animals on airplanes. And basically what they've told the Department of Transportation is telling airlines, if they're not a legitimate service animal, you don't have to transport them. So that's probably going to change things just a bit. You're going to have to leave Fluffy at home unless Fluffy, and plus the airlines are going to take fewer animals. They've been taking fewer animals on board for COVID. So if you have a pet wombat or squirrel or something like that, this only service dogs are going to be allowed. So perhaps some of the folks with emotional support animals, I'm sure there are folks who really need those animals to fly. But I just would argue that the inside of an airport is no place for a dog that isn't specifically trained to handle that sort of situation.
So that means that the Donald will not be able to fly with his emotional support peacock, which clearly he needs, moving forward. You know, he's shooting himself in the peacock, you know.
I'm not going anywhere near that one. But, yes, you cannot take there's no more of this, you know, which really had gotten completely and totally out of hand. So let's let the people who have a real need for service and support animals on airplanes and airports and stuff, let's not them have to get a black eye over this. Let's let them be able to use the animals that they need to be able to get around. And so I think this is the best for everybody. Anyways, moving on. Our friends at the Trans-Siberian Orchestra are starting to announce the live stream event is a week from Friday. I know we're going to have a week from Friday. It's the 18th. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a special reminder on that next week. Looks like KVIE is offering the opportunity to live stream the event. $60 donation if you want to go through KVIE, and some of the money goes to public television. So that's a great idea. You're going to have an update on that from our friend Mr. Petrelli and his
Petrelli
orchestra.
Yeah, he's I visit with him on Wednesday this week.
Okay,
and we should have that for next week's show.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Airbnb is seeking a valuation of up to $35 billion in its IPO. It looks like it's going to price out between $44 and $50 a share. Now, I am not a stock guru. You'll have to check with Kelly Brothers or other qualified people for that. But I'm just going to say something as a travel person. We're in the middle of a pandemic. If it were me, I would wait for Airbnb to come out. Let's see what happens, and let's wait 3, 4, 5 weeks and see where the stock is after that. I think right now is a tough time for a travel stock to debut, even though Airbnb may be find themselves as post-pandemic. People are looking for more safety and security. Perhaps they will look more to vacation homes. I think that's offset by the fact that people who rent vacation homes are starting to come up with some really creative fees and charges and things like that that kind of negate some of the additional value of renting a vacation home. So we'll see what happens there. The Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, said on Tuesday that he doesn't expect to lift the non-essential travel ban with the United States for at least the next couple of months as coronavirus cases continue to explode south of the border much more than they do north of the border. But for now, you can't go to Canada, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. And very quickly here at the end, Hawaii, which we've spent a lot of time talking about, seems like there's an update every week. If you're going to Kauai now, you will face a 14-day quarantine. Doesn't matter whose dance or who you know or what you do before you go. It's or what island you came from or the mainland or whatever. You're going to Kauai, you're getting a 14-day quarantine. If you're going to the other islands, there are different rules, still testing beforehand. But, gosh, make sure you have the results of the test in hand or on the computer before you leave for Hawaii. Because if you get to Hawaii and you don't have those results, doesn't make any difference. If you expect them in 20 minutes, they're going to put you in a 14-day quarantine. So, as we often say here, COVID times, you're going to travel, do your homework. Go into Hawaii right now, really do your homework, because things are changing over there on an almost daily basis. Or another idea is, just leave Hawaii alone, give those folks a few months to straighten it out, and then Aloha will return, and we will go back for sure. Delta Airlines, we told you last week, had canceled a whole bunch of flights on Thanksgiving Day and the day after. They had originally said that it was because of a rash of last-minute cancellations. Turns out, Tom, that it was as much coronavirus-related as anything else because it was last-minute staffing issues on the airplanes that caused them to have to cancel some of the flights. Even with the leftover crews and flight attendants that are around not working, they still couldn't get enough people to the right places and had to cancel some of their flights. So that's the first time that I've seen that particular tie, and that's a little bit alarming because we're not flying that many planes right now. Anyways, that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. All right, a discussion of travel bubbles coming up next. And speaking of bubbles, are those restaurant dining bubbles safe? We'll delve into that as well next here on the Travel Guys.
Any bubbles.
Never cease to amaze us. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you here, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We're going to talk about bubbles.
Bubbles.
Yeah, bubbles.
Yeah,
not tiny bubbles, but that's okay. I like tiny bubbles as well.
Resort bubbles.
Yeah, resort bubbles. Is that what they? Is that what we? Where things are going, Mark?
Well, they thought that. I mean, you know, on the surface, it seems like a good idea. You fly on an airplane to a place like, you know, Hawaii or Tahiti or Fiji or, you know, your favorite remote island. You get off the airplane. You've got reservations at a resort that's a all-inclusive resort with beaches and lots of activities and things to do. And they say, well, you know, you've got a quarantine for 7 days, or you've agreed to come here and you've agreed that you will not leave the resort property for the length of your stay.
Well, you get some of these resorts, there's no need to leave.
Well, and that's
everything
the whole point.
Everything you want should be there.
So the island of Kauai, which is having some issues as to, you know, how they're going to allow visitors and stuff like that, currently are they're on the 14-day quarantine. So they set up with this resort that's right next to the airport. That's kind of an exclusive. It's not the Kauai Marriott. Name of it was right here in front of me. But anyway, it's around here somewhere. But anyway, it's about $700 a night. So you could stay there. And what they found was that in the first 2 weeks that they had this resort bubble, that they were catching a lot of people outside of the bubble. Now, how would they catch you? So here's what happens. You go and you check in at the hotel, and if you're supposed to be in the bubble in the hotel, or let's say for you're supposed to be quarantining, the key that you get is a one-use key. So it'll only open your door one time. You get out and you leave the room. You're supposed to be on complete quarantine and not be outside. Well, you can't get back into the room without a key. You have to go to the front desk and ask them for a key so they know that you left the room.
But wait a minute here. It's a resort. It's a hotel. Isn't there outdoor activities and things that you can do on the premises?
If you're on a bubble, you're not going to have a one-use key. You're going to be able to get in and out of the resort, but you cannot rent a car. Because you can't rent a car to go any place on the island, and the resort knows this.
GPS key. If you leave the area, they know it.
Exactly. So I guess the point to all of this is that for people who think that, well, you know, these bubble things, I'll just agree to one of these and then we'll just go and we'll do whatever we want.
Yeah,
Not only are you getting on the wrong side of the law when you're supposed to be on vacation, but the reality is that they're finding that these resort bubbles really don't work. And do you want to spend half of your time trying to figure out how to break the law, or whether or not, you know, if you leave the resort, are you going to get caught, and what is the fine going to be? And so I just suggest to people that the whole resort idea, bubble resort idea, is not something that I think is going to be real well received. As you say, there are lots of resorts where you rarely want to leave. But I think if you think back on it, you go to some place for a week or something, at least once or twice or three times, you're like, well, let's go into town, you know, or let's walk across the street and see what's over there. Or there's a shop I saw when I was on the way in, you know, and I want to go back there and look at something that they had there. So, or you want to see a local museum or some kind of cultural event or something like that, you're trapped. Now, there's a second kind of bubble that is popping up here in these United States quite frequently, particularly on the East Coast. We're starting to see them in Sacramento, dining bubbles, where the restaurants are creating outdoor dining space. Some of our restaurants were real creative, but our weather here tends to be warmer. And right now we're still getting into the 60s in the middle of the day. I assure you it's not getting into the 60s on a lot of East Coast destinations. So people, if they're going to eat, if there's no inside dining and they want to eat at a restaurant and it's outside, you have this little issue of the weather. And if it's 20 degrees outside, how are people going to stay warm enough to be able to, you know, put up with some of the elements, but still be able to accomplish a meal service? And so some restaurants back east have put up these dining bubbles. You've probably seen them. They kind of look like oversized tents. And on the surface, that seems like a really good idea, except that couple of things. One of the reasons you're not doing indoor dining is because you don't want to be in a place where air is not circulating with a group of other people. Now, if it's just your table that's inside the dining and they're all people from your bubble, then probably you're a little bit safer. But what
I've seen a few exclusive restaurants and you know, specialty stories about places that had individual tables that were bubbled up. But that is so rare and unusual. That's not going to be happening down the street.
But even so, if that restaurant, they have found that the aerosols from the virus can stay airborne, it's not uncommon for them to stay airborne for a couple of hours. So if another family is inside of a restaurant bubble and they get finished and the restaurant, you know, tries to air it out or clean it up or do whatever, you know, how successful, how good are their protocols and how successful are they in terms? And then there's the other issue of portable heaters and the like. So because many restaurants in cold weather places have tried to say, well, you know, let's make a way of putting heat in here. Some restaurants have even gone to the expense of not putting a heater in, but piping in blown in heat and creating a vent in the top of the bubble to allow for more air circulation. Many municipalities have already outlawed these bubbles from a safety standpoint of concern about fire and the like, how safe some of the materials that they're made of, and if people are pumping heat in and, you know, somebody lights up a cigarette or something like that, what's going to happen? So just it's like everything else we've had during COVID. Do your homework. If somebody suggests that you go to a restaurant that has a dining bubble, then ask some questions. Because when you ask questions, then you'll get some answers, and that will hopefully make you a smarter traveler when it comes to anything regarding a bubble.
Well, there you go. Well, you know, the companies that rent out large tents and so forth, and there's been several stories on the news about them, have had a real heyday. A lot of restaurants needing to rent outdoor tenting and so forth. And, you know, here again, outdoor tenting, some of them come with windows, and which almost seems to defeat the purpose. But it's quite a challenge. And, you know, it'll be interesting as we go through this to see all the different ways that people try to find to mitigate the circumstances. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about traveling for Christmas. Clayton Whitehead joins us. He's not traveling, and he's going to tell us how that feels for the first time in some time. It's coming up next here on The Travel Guys.
Okay.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina.
Hey there, my friends. It's Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, joined by Clayton Whitehead. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, the not traveling Travel Guys.
The not traveling guys.
Yeah, I can't believe that. Why is this radio show still on the air, Mark? I'm somewhat perplexed.
Well, because travel people are hopeful people, and we are optimistic people, and we know that we will all travel again someday. And one of the best parts of travel is dreaming about it. So, you know, that really is, it's part of a traveler's DNA to dream about where they're going to go. So for the two true travelers right now, we're all disappointed we can't go anyplace, but we still have the dreams working for us. So that may sound a little crazy, but travelers are a little crazy. Hey, listen.
I love it.
Before we start into this, I wanted to tell people that from time to time we put things on our Travel Guys Radio website that are just cool things that we find. Right now, choirs and orchestras around the world are doing these virtual things where everybody does their part and then they're all meshed together in this amazing technical thing. The Melbourne Symphony Orchestra and Choir has done Waltzing Matilda, which is really pretty much the national anthem of Australia, the unofficial national anthem. There's a link to it at travelguysradio.com. It's three of the best minutes you will spend all day if you just go there and listen to. It's an old song about a hobo wandering around in Australia, and it's a great play. Travelguysradio.com, you'll see a link. We are joined here by Clayton Whitehead.
Hi, Mark and Tom.
Hey, Clayton. Good to have you with us, buddy.
Always a pleasure to see, and I can't see you, but it's a pleasure.
You have had a dilemma in the last few weeks here about maybe last few months you've been thinking about. Your mother lives on the other side of the country. She's getting up in years, 89. She's reasonably healthy for her years, and she has negotiated small town Georgia to Sacramento many times over the years and back very safely. But you all, in deciding who would go where or not go where, tell us you're as we all work, as we all try to decide whether or not we're going to go home at Christmas, I found your situation kind of compelling.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. Those of you who are out there listening who know me and know my mom, who everyone affectionately knows as Toot, including me, you know we're extremely close. And despite the 3,300 miles that separate us, we're accustomed to seeing each other many times through the year, including me going home for long visits, usually twice a year, and helping out on our family farm and providing a little moral support. Now, with holidays, because I'm so involved in my church and have so many friends out here, it's become our tradition for her to fly. God bless Delta's direct flight between Atlanta and Sacramento, which makes it, you know, a lot easier to cross country. So this has been has become our family tradition for a number of years now, is her coming out here and merging into my holiday celebrations. But of course, the reality is, my holiday celebrations aren't happening this year. Everything's going to be virtual at my church. Holiday, you know, gatherings with friends aren't happening, and I just don't think it's safe, you know. And people talk about your bubble, and well, your mother's in your bubble, but the reality is, my mother's not in my bubble. I haven't seen my mother since February. Mm-hmm. We are not in the same bubble. We're not in the same state. And I think her coming here is risky, and I think me going there is risky. So in order to assure that we have hopefully at least a few more, if not many, many more Christmases and other holidays together, we're going to take a break this holiday.
So I don't want to be macabre or anything, but she's 89 years old. I mean, you know, there's always the possibility, you know, that heaven forbid, you know, this is the last Christmas. I mean, I think this is something that's weighing in people's decisions.
It is, but the way I'm looking at it, there's also a possibility if I went home or if she came here, that could be where the germ comes from. Mm-hmm. And my mom, I mean, she says, look, I'm an old lady and I know I'm going to die more sooner than later, but I don't want to die now and I don't want to die like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we've all had friends or, well, thankfully no one extremely close, but we have some folks, you know, in our outer circle who have suffered from the COVID, and it's not pretty. Even if you survive it, it's not pretty. And of course, if you don't survive it, you know, not so good. So anyway, I want to give everybody a little idea that I had. My mom's birthday was back in September, and my mom is super anti-technology. No computers, no smartphone, et cetera, et cetera. But everyone else in Georgia does have that. So I convinced a buddy to go over and see my mom on her birthday in September. He enticed her out in the yard. Luckily, it was a pretty day. And for her birthday, I gave her a FaceTime call with the help of my buddy, and it made her day. So I know everybody's getting zoomed out. Good Lord, I am zoomed out. But, you know, if you've got elderly relatives or friends out there, especially if they don't have all this technology in their home or don't know how to easily surf it, it might be worth a few more minutes on Zoom to get a friend who can be your intermediary and go and make an old lady or an old guy's day complete by just letting them see you and saying hello.
Great idea, Clayton. I love that. You know, a lot of people see these stories on TV, you know, big headlines. 104-year-old man survives coronavirus. Well, you know, don't go seeing that stuff and think that that's how it's going to be for everyone. The stories that you don't hear are the ones that didn't survive. You know, because, I mean, that can happen. But here again, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, if a family member does become ill, especially if it's a parent or a grandparent, you certainly don't want to live the rest of your life with a burden knowing that perhaps you were the one that was responsible for them getting ill. So I love your find a buddy with a Zoom or a phone.
Well, we're great lucky idea that we live in a time when this technology is available. And you're correct, Clayton, in that not every 89-year-old woman has bought into it. But that doesn't mean that she doesn't know somebody who has. And we're lucky to have all of these alternatives, whereas, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you would have been able to pick up the phone and call mom, and that would have kind of been it. So now you can do all of these amazing. I mean, we have people in hospitals who are able to see people and talk to people in their last moments of their lives that they wouldn't do otherwise. So, I mean, this is really a good thing. And I might suggest that it's a reasonable substitute for one time around, because I don't think we know yet how many people are sick just from Thanksgiving, but heaven forbid the numbers are unbelievable.
Well, mom and I are going to do it again. My friend will be with his bubble on Christmas Day, so we're tentatively planning for him to pop in on my mom on Christmas Eve, and we'll try it again, and I think it'll be really special. Plus, I have to confess, I enjoyed seeing her too. You know, it works both ways, and though we do talk on the phone nearly every single night, mm-hmm. and tell the same stories because nothing new is happening in our worlds.
There you go.
You know, just to be able to see her and let her see me, that meant a lot. And that, I think that's super special around the holidays.
Now, Thomas, you've been very conservative yourself with, you know, going places and doing things and stuff like that. Do you have any family plans for the holidays? Have you know, the Romanos are generally traveling somewhere to gather up with somebody.
No, we are Zoom freaks. We play games, see each other. It's going to be all stay at home. My wife and I have begun the decorating of the Romano land here. And in fact, I'm going big. I'm decorating my entire backyard and all kinds of lights and stuff, because that's a place we can go outside and fire up the fire pit. I can even have my oldest daughter come over and sit outdoors across the way. But, you know, I'm going, well, nobody's coming in the house. Why should we put up a tree? Why should we have decorations? And, you know, my wife says, you know what? Because I want it. Because it makes me feel good. Yeah. Because it makes me happy. So, you know what? With that being said, I'm going to blow it out. I'm putting if it lights, it's going up. even if the strand of lights has 30% of them are out, I'm mm-hmm. going to find a place for them. And when it's all done, I'll take some pictures and we can post it on the travelguysradio.com.
Well, and I was planning on going back to the St. Louis area for New Year's this year, because generally I'm traveling at Christmas, although that got canceled last week. So I'm not going to go there. And it really, the point of all of this discussion here is really to try, if one person listening on the radio right now has heard this conversation over the last 10 minutes and says, well, you know, maybe there's a way we can kind of skip this year. You know, who knows how many people you might keep well. So let's all try to figure, as many of us as we can, try to figure out how to stay at home and maybe connect with our loved ones over the computer or some other electronic method. And, you know, it'll make next year's Christmas celebrations all that much better. I mean, that seems like the logical thing to do at this point. Good Lord, Tom, the virus is just all over the place. It's really difficult right now.
Clayton, thanks for joining us. Coming up, my friends, here on the Travel Guys, we're joined by Chris Elliott, consumer help website, Elliott.org. You'll enjoy this. It's next here on the Travel Guys. It's the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for joining us today. From time to time, if you're a regular listener, you know we have Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, one of the best there is on the program, with lots of great information. And Mark, you were saying that Chris has been stirring things up a bit.
He has been. He has been. About every other day, he pisses off another large group of people. So I thought it would be good to get him on the radio and talk to him before he, you know, disappears under the wheels of an airplane or something like that. So he's been addressing some issues that needed to be addressed. And when you do that, the people who run the travel business do not care for people who do things like that. So, Christopher Elliott, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. I realize this might be my last interview with you guys, so I better make it count.
So you're trying to disguise your voice, I noticed, too. Eh?
Yeah, well, just from now on, we'll talk to the kids, because you'll be in the witness protection program. Speaking of which, you're not traveling the country much with three teenagers these days, but how's the family doing?
Yeah, we're good, thanks. Yeah, we're in Sedona, and we'll probably be here for a few more months, at least, maybe longer.
For people who don't know, Chris has three teenagers. What are their ages now, Chris?
They are 14, 16, and 18 now. So they're they're getting up there, but they're still with me. So we're still traveling around a lot. So we're in Arizona, but we, at the beginning of the pandemic, as you know, we were stuck in France and then in Washington State. So we've been all over the place. And I think we're probably going to head back to Europe soon if we can.
Well, remember can go to travelguysradio.com and find a link to what Chris does, if you're curious.
Yes, to Elliott.org. Chris is a consumer advocate for all of us around the country, which is why he is here today. And in fact, if you go to his website, you'll find that they're looking for the folks who benefit from the website and Chris's information to maybe throw a few shekels in the kitty to make sure that these services continue to go on. Chris, the airlines got a big bailout in the spring. They didn't get one in the fall, so that caused them to have to lay off a bunch of people. The airlines got $19 billion in the springtime, but notably, two major carriers did not get any of that money. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. It was Southwest and Delta that did not take the bailout money. And I've come under some criticism for calling it a bailout. It actually is a combination of loans and grants under the CARES Act. Some of it has to be repaid. $6 billion has to be repaid. The rest doesn't have to be repaid. And basically, the airlines that took it, we have the major legacy carriers, United, American, and then some of the smaller airlines, had to promise that they were not going to furlough or lay anyone off until the end of September. And they had to also agree to repay the part of the money that they were supposed to repay, you know, just basically things like that. This is actually a really good time now, and this is why I was writing this story, to ask what we got for our $19 billion, because the airlines are asking for even more money now. And, you know, we really, and it's actually a really good question, because apart from some of the policies that got loosened, so we now don't have the change fees that we used to have, and apart from having a solvent airline industry, you know, most of the major airlines are still flying, we haven't had a major bankruptcy.
The airlines have a really big lobbying effort in Washington, D.C. That's how they got this money in the first place. It didn't come through for them a second time. It might still. That lobbying effort, however, has resulted in some other changes here in the last few days that are very subtle, but you and some other consumer advocates are writing about them in that the effect and the long-term effect of these changes may not be very subtle, that the airlines have fought for a long time to get some changes made to some vocabulary that will allow them to undo and to act poorly in the future. Is that fairly accurate?
That's fairly accurate, yes. Back in 2017, the Trump administration asked the airline industry to give it a list of burdensome regulations, burdensome in its words. And the airlines said, look, one of the things you can do to help us is you can define unfair and deceptive, those two words, the same way that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, does. And so they did a rulemaking, and this would be the DOT. And then the day after Thanksgiving, one of the slowest news days of the year, no one's paying attention, DOT announces that it adopted that new rule. So now unfair and deceptive follows the same standard as the Federal Trade Commission. Problem with that is that will effectively allow the airlines to undo every modern consumer protection that the DOT has. And the DOT doesn't have that many. It has, for example, the 24-hour rule, the tarmac delay rule. It has an airline pricing rule that allows, it's called a full fare advertising rule, that basically says that the price that you quote is the price that you have to pay. Pretty common sense, right? Well, they can undo all that under the new definition. What the fear is that consumer advocates have is that this is going to really set back consumer protections by 10 or 20 years, maybe even more. And that is cause for concern. And it is, as I said in my story, the greatest gift the Trump administration has given the airline industry, the greatest gift they've had since deregulation, possibly.
Yeah, Chris, I was going to say, over the last 4 years, consumer efforts to fines to airlines, reeling airlines in and stuff like that has been virtually non-existent. I mean, they've fallen off by dramatic numbers. So there's no question that the current administration has been very pro-airline and not very pro-consumer. I mean, that's not a political statement. That's a fact.
Exactly.
And continuing here, I mean, when I see Airlines for America, which represents the major carriers, came out and said they supported the new rules. They thanked federal officials for taking action. The quote, they said, "This reform is a critical step forward in ensuring a data-driven regulatory process, which will produce widespread and lasting benefits for air travelers, airlines, and the economy." What a pile of BS.
Just wanted to let everybody know, if you're just joining us, we are the Travel Guys. Our special guest, consumer advocate Chris Elliott.
So, Chris, what do we do about this, about what the airlines have done here? Can this be undone? Is it something that we have to live with? Where do consumers stand here? Do we just have to stand here and watch the rights that we fought for one at a time melt away from us?
Well, hopefully not. I think that the Biden administration can undo this if it wants to. I don't know if it will. But right now, as I've noted in my newsletter, the enforcement actions are so low. We're looking at 4 enforcement actions, which is the DOT giving the airline industry basically the equivalent of a speeding ticket. So we have 4 enforcement actions this year. It is the lowest number ever that the DOT has issued to airlines. And it is one of the lowest enforcement numbers in terms of fines ever, too. So really, there's almost nothing to take the airline industry to court over. But if we see a more activist DOT later on, we might see some court action, too.
What we're looking for here, at least from my point of view, is something that's a little bit more balanced. We have now suddenly the pendulum has swung hugely in favor of the airlines when it comes to enforcement and consumer protections. And I think most of us would just like to see, I'm not looking to stick it to the airlines, but if they're going to take huge batches of taxpayer money from time to time on a regular basis, then I think that they have to be answerable on some level to consumers for their services and their policies.
I'll tell you, Mark, good thing that we have people like Chris Elliott and his team to keep an eye on the airlines and other big companies. You know, sometimes he turns into the last line of defense, and a great job he's doing, too.
Yeah, well, the airlines have a really powerful lobbying group in D.C., so I'm not surprised they won this victory from a business-minded president as he heads for the door. As a consumer, it's discouraging, but you go back and fight again. I mean, no matter who's in the White House, nobody gets everything on their wish list the first time around.
Well, there you go. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Travel Guys. And don't forget now, travelguysradio.com. Lots of good stuff there. And we'll be back next Sunday, same time, 3 o'clock, make you a smarter traveler. Stay well, my friends.
You all dance like nobody's watching.